Did you miss me? Look who's back. Following a media viewing period at spring football practice at the University of Alabama, Travis Ryer, senior analyst for BOL. The first media viewing period of the Kalen DeBoer era as the head football coach at UA. So pretty interesting to say the least. We'll get into a lot of different things here as we try to push through and give you as much as we can. We've got so much coverage for you right now too. Right there at BamaOnline.com, Charlie Potter, Clint Lamb, Jimmy Stein, myself, we were all just out there. You're also gonna have defensive coach and player media availability coming up following the workout. So literally throughout the night, and maybe even a baseball update or two, because you got Alabama baseball trying to take care of some business right across the parking lot here. But we're gonna talk a lot of football, as you might guess. It's been a newsy day in a lot of ways too. We heard some comments from Nick Saban in relation to his exit from college football and the University of Alabama. Wasn't all that surprised. I only caught excerpts of that because I was on the road pretty much all day today. But what I had been told was that essentially, almost immediately following the exit meetings for the 2023 season, in terms of returning players, and you know, Saban was still in a mode of looking ahead, at least crossing his T's and dotting his I's as far as staff issues, staff replacements. DJ Durkin had interviewed, I believe. And then after those exit interviews, I think that's when the full decision was made for Nick Saban. He goes downstairs, announces his retirement, and now we're watching football practice with Kalen DeBoer and his new staff out there in a gorgeous early March afternoon in Tuscaloosa. Low 70s. Not much in the way of humidity, a little bit of a breeze blowing. As a football player, you really couldn't ask for better conditions than today. The first thing that struck me when I walked out the backside of the indoor facility, because the front practice field out here, it's under renovation. They're doing some different things. They're spending that SEC money because you got to. You got so much of it, you can't hide it. But really limited to two practice fields out there today. And when you came out the backside, the music hits you. You know, there is music at Alabama football practices now, and it's not the million-dollar band. It's what the kids like. And so that was very interesting. I thought it was sort of, in some ways, full circle-ish, because you still have Coach Bryant's tower out there, and then at the foot of the tower, you've got speakers blasting music out, and I'm sure the players love it. So that was very much different from my perspective, having done this for 20 plus years now. But as for on the field, you know, one of the things I was interested in is because when you watched a Nick Saban practice, the tempo and the efficiency at which they got their work done, it was always amazing to me. And so I wanted to see how that stood up. Now it is just day two for Kalen DeBoer. New coaching staff, new system, new concepts, a lot of things in terms of how you're going to go about practice. But I thought it moved at a good tempo. I thought there were a lot of guys getting a lot of reps, and certainly newcomers are a big part of that too, not just in the way of freshmen, but you're talking about transfer portal guys. Now, we know the Washington guys have a distinct advantage. They know exactly how this thing's gonna go under Kalen DeBoer. And that's one of the additional values that you have in bringing in a Parker Brailsford or a Jeremy Bernard or an Austin Mack at the different positions, or Josh Cuevas at the tight end position. They can kind of give you an in-practice example of how things are going to work, but didn't seem like there was much in the way of hesitation or downtime. Reps were moving quickly and guys were getting in and out. And what we'll do is we'll probably just go position by position. I'll give you what I got as I was out there during the allotted time. Quarterbacks, as you would expect, Jalen Milroe, Austin Mack, Dylan Lonergan, Ty Simpson. We saw, at one point, we saw Jalen and Ty on one end of the field throwing in one direction. And then on the other end, we saw Dylan Lonergan and also Austin Mack throwing back the other way. And four guys that can really spin it, as we know. Jalen has that full year of starting experience, a star player in a lot of ways. Continued growth going to be key for him. Austin Mack is going to be a guy that's talked about a lot. And I'm not saying that in terms of, oh, he's a slam dunk All-American or a Heisman Trophy winner down the road. But there's no denying, just at his size and the fluidity in which the football comes out, he's going to be an ooh and ah guy. Just watching him throw the football and understanding this is shorts and helmet still. You know, where the rubber meets the road is when we get more into full pad work and those type of things. We're still a few days away from that as far as the acclimation period is concerned, but there is no doubt that Austin Mack is a presence at the quarterback position. Dylan Lonergan looks very good. It looks like he had a great offseason, a great run through winter workouts, and I'd say the same for Ty Simpson. It is a great situation at the quarterback position. You've got four guys that I think you can feel really, really good about. Obviously, Alabama has a lot invested in Jalen at this point. Similarly, to an extent with Ty, but those younger guys, Dylan Lonergan and Austin Mack, certainly a bright future, you would think, as well. Now, as we get into the running backs, Justice Haynes, Richard Young, Jam Miller, all look great. We're seeing drill work, no pads. It's sort of, you know, it's kind of touch football All-Americans. Everybody out there is an All-American before the pads go on, but these guys look great. Justice looks fully recovered from some of the issues he had from a health perspective late in the season. Richard Young looks like he's gotten some good work, some needed work in his, I guess, really his first run through the fourth quarter program. Jam looks really good, rocked up, I think you could say, about some of these guys. And then Daniel Hill, the early enrollee, is definitely a bigger back. He's a stout-looking dude. I think there's still going to be some progress made with him in terms of his body. I don't think he needs to be 210 or 215. There is a place for a sort of people mover, pile mover at that position, short yardage, goal line, those type of things. But, you know, he's not a guy when you look at him right now that's going to stand out to you. Now, you put pads on and you put a 245, 250-pound back in some situations, that's where you can start to see some things with a guy like Daniel Hill. But good to see him out there as well. The tight end position, what I saw was C.J. Dupree in a black jersey today. Did see Robbie Oots, did see Danny Lewis. We did see Ty Lockwood, Josh Cuevas, Caleb Odom with the wide receivers. We're going to talk about him more in just a minute when we get to the wide receivers. But about what you would expect from the tight end position, it's going to be very interesting to watch that play out. I thought all the guys looked like they had good off seasons. Maybe with Danny Lewis, a continued sort of streamlining of his body is continued. Looks good. CJ, I thought off to the side, looked really good. Looked like he's had a good offseason. Ty Lockwood, similarly. Oots, you know, he's that guy that you can use in a multitude of ways, whether it's truly as a tight end or maybe as a H-back, fullback type, off the ball. Some on the ball, I would think, as well. So that was the tight end position. Then we get into the wide receivers. While I was watching, and I didn't watch every snap of the wide receivers, obviously trying to look around and see some different things, it looked like the three wide receiver positions were in lines, like what would traditionally be the Z, what would traditionally be the Y or the slot, and then your X position. And what I saw when I was watching at the X, let me see if I can break it down here. I saw Caleb Odom at the X, which is the outside guy. I saw Jaron Hamilton, I believe, at the X. And we also saw Jalen Hale, of course. He looks like an X and he plays like an X. So those were the three guys I saw out there. As far as inside receivers, the ones I noticed were Kobe Prentice and Cole Adams working inside. And then at the Z, Jeremy Bernard, the Washington transfer. Kendrick Law looks great. He was at the X with Bernard. And then also Emmanuel Henderson looks really good. Now, we talked about not a lot in the way of returning production, but a lot to feel good about, I think, in terms of translatable talent to this offense that we're going to see under Kalen DeBoer. So a good-looking group there. Bubba Hampton as well in that mix. The offensive line, that was interesting because we essentially saw two groups on day two. And as we heard from Kalen DeBoer a few days ago, you gotta line up with some guys to start, to open. This is certainly not indicative in all likelihood of what we're going to see when Alabama opens the 2024 season here in Tuscaloosa against Western Kentucky. But what we did see from left to right, the first group up was Elijah Pritchett at left tackle, Tyler Booker right there at left guard, no surprise there, James Brockermeyer in there at the center position, You also had Jaden Roberts, who just continues to look better and better physically, which seems impossible. You know, we talked about maybe streamlining these offensive linemen a little bit. Jaden looks like he could play in any offense right now. If you want to maul people, you want to push people, you want guys that can move a little bit, Jaden has that look to him right now. Just looks tremendous. And then at right tackle with that first group, when I was watching, it was Wilkin Formby, the Northridge High grad, working with that group. And then with the second group, from left to right, you had Naquel Bertrand, the Texas A&M transfer. At left guard, you had Olas Alenin. At center, you had Parker Brailsford, who is an interesting dude. He's not a 300-pound dude. And especially when you're out there in shorts and helmets, there's no questioning this guy is very effective at what he does. And I think indicative of where this offense is headed with the offensive line. But Brailsford, the second team All-Pac-12 center in 2023, working with that second group. Don't go crazy. Don't lose your mind about this stuff. It's day two. Right guard, you had Rock Montgomery, another one of those second-year guys. Then at right tackle was Miles McVay. Now, of the newcomers, what I saw was I saw Joseph Iannotta at left guard, and then it looked like William Sanders was in center mode. You know, had the towel, kind of had the hands, had a ball in his hand when I saw him. He can play guard or center, but I think a lot of people have thought that, you know, he could certainly translate to the center position. And I think in this offense, with the way they're going to play, either guard or center, but I could see him, based on his high school tape, ending up at center and being really, really good in doing so. So let's switch sides. Let's go over to the defensive line. We didn't see Jaheim Otis out there with the defensive line. The news there was Keon Keeley, previously of the outside linebacker position, and he still might be. Spring is a time for experimentation. These are the things that you're going to do. Maybe he's going to stay with the DL, but that's where we saw him today. I would think he could, you know, be sort of a strong side defensive end eventually, but that's where he was on Wednesday. You had other guys, LT Overton, a really good-looking group physically. I thought Edric Hill, young guy, and Jordan Renaud, another young guy, looked like they've had some really good off seasons to this point. Tim Keenan, looks like Tim Keenan. James Smith, Tim Smith, Isaiah Fanga, the early enrollee. Out there working with that group. And this is kind of the hardest group to tell a lot about. I thought Curtis Perry looked like he's put on some weight. You kind of wondered about that with him. He's a couple of years into the program now. It looked like that's the case. Damon Payne, it's a good-looking group. It's an experienced group. Jamarian Latham, I mean, this is a group that should be a real strength for this team, and they're going to have more opportunities to show that as you get more into full pad work. Now, as for those outside linebackers, first guys up, Keanu Coop, and also Q Robinson, as you would expect. I thought Q looked like he's continued to add some bulk. Now, relative to what Chris Braswell did a year ago, I'm not ready to go there, but he definitely looks like an older dude in a group that's got a couple of young guys. Coot looks good. I think he's made some of those same strides. Quay Roussel looks like he's had a good offseason. He looked like an every down kind of guy physically, and he was sort of that third guy through drills. You'd see Q, you would see Keanu, and then you would see Quay. Jayshon Ross, in terms of big picture body type and potential, when you start thinking a year or two down the road, it's an impressive looking young player. Yonzi Pierre looks like he's making some strides physically. But the big news, again, was more so with Keeley, not with the outside linebackers, with the defensive line today, while we were out there anyway. Inside linebacker, as you would expect, Deontay Lawson wearing that number zero. Another thing I'm having to adjust to, but it looked pretty cool. Deontay leading that group, Jihad Campbell in that new number 11. Jihad looks like he has continued to make needed strides physically, looks good. Justin Jefferson, working behind those two guys at the inside linebacker position. I think Caden Jones is a guy that physically is impressive at this point. Just being an early enrollee, kind of wondered, would he be an inside guy? Would he be an outside guy? I think he's got some cross-training attributes that you could play into, but another guy that looks like he's already making the physical strides to get himself in position, maybe not from a rotational standpoint, but you start thinking about special teams options as true freshmen. That's the kind of guy that you're looking for. Jeremiah Alexander also in that mix with the group behind Deontay Lawson and Jahad Campbell. Sterling Dixon, early enrollee, good to see him out there. He had had the injury, so you were wondering a little bit about what his availability would be. But he was out there going through work. Justin Okoronkwo, the lad from abroad out there working with the inside linebackers. Another guy, projectable, just in terms of body type and those type of things. Obviously still in the developmental mode as far as playing football, not just in the United States, but football at the SEC level is concerned. But on the hoof, as they like to say back in the day, a promising looking group. Cornerbacks. It was interesting from a coaching perspective. I thought I saw mostly Mo Lindquist, which I kind of anticipated, working with the corners. And then Colin Hitzler working with the safeties. And there isn't a lot of experience returning at that corner position. But when you see it for yourself physically, these guys check all those boxes, especially these young guys. Xavier Mincy, just length for days, athleticism for days. Zabian Brown, kind of a D. Milner look to him. Guys that are 6 foot, 6'1", but they look longer. You know what I mean? Like, they look 6'2", 6'3", because of the wingspan and the length. Damani Jackson looks the part of a Power 5, higher echelon corner. He was up top with those corners. Good ball skills that we did see during Wednesday's practice, guys that would go up and meet the football, high point the football. Mbakwe with some really nice ups in that number 9 jersey. And Jahlil Hurley out there too in that mix with the corners. And I got to give it up for Charlie Potter. Charlie put together these rosters for us, and he did it by position, and I don't think he missed a position on any of these guys. You know how there's usually a guy that, an either or kind of guy, at least in terms of the position groups that we saw guys working with today. He pretty much nailed this. So props to Charlie. Don't tell him though. Don't tell him that. It won't be good for his head. At safety, Keon Saab. Keon Saab, based on what I was expecting anyway, I thought he was not going to be as long. Or, you know, it's interesting. You had Ha Ha Clinton Dix out there today at practice. You had Kool-Aid McKinstry out there today. And they were hawking those DBs. Keon Saab certainly looks the part. Peyton Woodyard already is an early enrollee. I would say that about Devontae Smith. When we talk about the safeties, is the don't you forget about me guy. If he can stay healthy, he does have a benefit of at least having already competed against guys of this level. He had the injury issue a year ago that really kind of circumvented any opportunity he had to make a significant impact. Malachi leading that group. It's a great thing to have. Red Morgan, an interesting guy because of the positional versatility. I think he'll base out of a safety, but he might base out of the Husky, which is the new iteration of the star position, because that's a base position in the 4-2-5. Bray Hubbard working with the safety, Stray Kirkpatrick, Tony Mitchell. I think Tony Mitchell's kind of that guy too when you start thinking about the Husky position. So there you go. I went position by position, and I even saw the kickers in the indoor facility as we were walking out. Connor Talty showing some good stuff indoors. Now, I've said it 100 times. I was talking with a colleague of mine on the way out. We were watching him, and looks great in the indoor facility, but you still just do not know with kickers. Now, the talent is evident, and I thought it was great that Saban and the previous staff were able to get him work, albeit on a very minimal basis, but just get him out there in this sort of environment at this level, and he seemed to respond to it pretty well. So it's to be determined, but in terms of skill and ability and talent, you obviously see what Alabama saw when they offered Connor Talty a scholarship. The beautiful thing about it is you've got James Burnett back as your punter. You've got Nealon Hibbett back as your snapper. So operationally, there should be a great comfort level for a new kicker. I mean, James Burnett just held a couple of seasons for the best, in my opinion, to ever do it at Alabama in Will Riker. Nealon Hibbett has done this for a couple of years now. So everything should literally be on a tee for Talty in that competition at the place kicking position. Yeah, again, from a coaching staff perspective, I know there'll be talk about that. I watched mostly players, a lot of newcomers, transfers, early enrollees, returning guys, strides they've made physically. I did think it was interesting, and we heard DeBoer talk about this on Monday, already incorporating the headset into the quarterbacks. We saw Nick Sheridan out there on the practice field. He's got the headset on. You'll probably see that in some of the practice video we're going to have. We're going to have photo galleries. We're going to have video. We've got Charlie Potter with his practice report, his famed practice report, Clint Lamb with his thoughts, Jimmy Stein with his thoughts. We've got this video for you. We're going to have more YouTube content tomorrow, too. We anticipate that being the case anyway. Tomorrow morning, we'll go back to live. I wanted to do live here, but it just logistically didn't line up. So here you go, and that's it. Travis Schreier inviting you once again to join us right there at BamaOnline.com. Also, if you haven't subscribed to this YouTube channel, what are you waiting on? Do it right now. Hit the like button while you're at it. Turn on those notifications. You'll get all of our YouTube content as it drops right there on the YouTube home for BamaOnline.com. Travis Schreier thanking you once again. Until next time, so long, everybody.